refers to the deployment of U.S. nuclear weapons in the defense of South Korea. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Hundreds of pro-Palestine activists marched through central Vienna on Friday to vent their anger following Israel's recent bombardment of Gaza. They joined thousands of other protesters worldwide who were shocked into action after the three-day Israeli offensive left over 350 Palestinians wounded, 46 dead, including 16 children, according to Palestinian officials.
Following the recent violence against Gaza, shocking images of children suffering and dying went absolutely viral on social media. Yet despite these disturbing images doing the rounds, they haven't been routinely featured in Western mainstream media circles. In fact, it's incredibly rare for any images of Palestinian suffering to be published at all.
They are suffering every day, every single day. People got arrested, children got arrested, people got murdered. Gaza, what we saw last week in three, 4 days, got bombed. They have no electricity, they have no way to go anywhere. They are blocked from the Israeli occupation.
I need to tell my people that we are standing up for them. We are resisting from abroad. So you have to stay strong. And I'm an artist, so it is a duty for me to raise the voice for the ones who are not heard.
We need to raise our voice, and Austria cooperates with Israel. And that's what we are doing here also is that we want to make people aware of this, that Austria is cooperating with Israel.
Despite regular condemnation of Israeli aggression by human rights groups, Palestinians continue to suffer while the Western world looks on, leaving few options left for Palestinians driven to fight for their very survival. Robert Carter, Vienna.
In mid-August last year, the Taliban took control of Afghanistan and the Western-backed government collapsed. On its anniversary, the Afghan people have not forgotten what they went through during this period. Economic collapse, triggered by the U.S. seizure of nearly $9 billion in Afghan assets and cuts in global aid, has been one of their main struggles. Afghans lived through a harsh winter with little food. Based on a poll by Gallup Institute, nearly all Afghans rated their lives as poorly enough to be considered suffering. Meanwhile, some neighboring countries and international bodies rushed aid to the country.
We witnessed that after the Taliban takeover, people sold their children and body organs to put food on the table. I personally lost my job and have been unemployed for months. Millions of others were unable to make ends meet due to food and cash scarcity. I urge the U.S. and the international community to release frozen Afghan funds and let the flow of aid. Afghans can no longer bear the ongoing miseries.
The security situation in the meantime has been far better than in the past two decades. That's to say, people experienced less violence and conflict this year. However, the occasional attacks by the Daesh terrorist group continue to haunt the community.
Previously, our people were living with the U.S. bombardments on their territories. Under the pretext of the war against terror, the U.S. pushed terror in Afghanistan for 20 years and violated all rights of Afghans. Since the Taliban have come to power, our country has been more secure and peaceful. I hope the Taliban succeed in cracking down on Daesh terrorist group and tightening security for all.
The Taliban, on the other hand, failed to gain international recognition. Afghans and the global community have criticized the Taliban for not forming an all-inclusive government.
This week marks the one-year anniversary of the Taliban takeover. To date, the Taliban have been unable to form a government representing all walks of Afghan society and protect their rights. In Afghanistan's history, no government has been successful without securing national legitimacy and being inclusive. The Taliban should learn from the past, seek fair engagement with Afghans, and be flexible against the global community.
All things considered, international bodies and rights groups continue to engage with the de facto Taliban to advocate for the rights of Afghans and address their needs. They also have been calling on the Taliban to open girls' schools as soon as possible. 1 year into the Taliban government, Afghans are calling on the international community to help the country's economy and force the U.S. to release its frozen assets. At the same time, they said the new government should engage more in diplomacy with other countries to improve the situation in Afghanistan. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
As Israel's systematic attacks on Gaza and Al-Quds persist, another war continues to rage on in Europe. The battle pits pro-Palestine activists pushing a global anti-Israel boycott campaign versus local authorities who back ties with Israel. Founded in 2005, Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions, also known as BDS, is a Palestinian-led movement promoting economic sanctions on Israel. Due to the movement's popularity, Tel Aviv has lobbied European lawmakers to criminalize the group and its activities. France, Germany and Britain are key battlegrounds, but lesser known is the struggles of the BDS in Austria. Speaking to local members, a crackdown on BDS activism remains ongoing.
It started in 2018 when, the local city government of Vienna, they implemented city resolutions, for example, against the BDS movement, where they say all local institutions and governmental institutions are not allowed anymore to support the movement, so which means all public places, they are restricted for us. And all these restrictions against the BDS movement in Austria, in Europe and worldwide, I think it's a reaction from the Zionist movement and from the Zionist lobby, because BDS is getting stronger and stronger.
The Vienna city government are currently suing a BDS Austria representative over a Facebook post showing an image plastered over an official city poster. Elsewhere, support for the BDS can get you labelled anti-Semitic due to Austria adopting the controversial IHRA definition on anti-Semitism.
European authorities are introducing new legislation which aims to stop the activities of the peaceful boycott campaign. But policing people's desires not to invest in the Israeli regime is proving a near impossible task. Speaking to representatives of the BDS here in Vienna, they say that the response is an inevitable backlash to the group's success in undermining and damaging Israel's reputation across the continent. Robert Carter, Vienna.
Turkey's Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu says he had a side talk with Syrian Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad on the sidelines of the Non-Aligned Movement Summit in October last year. The Turkish minister added he suggested a reconciliation to take a place between the Syrian government and the opposition, noting that without such a step, Syria will continue to face a crisis. Cavusoglu said that the EU and the international community would support a ceasefire in the war-torn country, and that no country would help in Syria's rebuild the process if a ceasefire is not achieved.
To prevent the division of Syria, there must be a strong administration in Syria. The will that can dominate every corner of its lands can only be achieved through unity and solidarity. We need to bring the opposition and government together for reconciliation. There will be no permanent peace otherwise.
Some believe such a revelation is a signal indicating Turkey is preparing for its cross-border military operation in northern Syria. In recent weeks, the Turkish army has been sending reinforcements to northern Syria near the town of Tel Rifat. The town is under the control of Kurdish YPG forces, a U.S.-backed militia that Turkey considers the armed wing of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, known as PKK.
I think the timing of this announcement comes as Turkey is preparing for a cross-border military operation to secure the border area and push back Kurdish forces. A reconciliation between the government and the opposition will not only bring peace to Syria, but also Turkey, a country that has been directly affected by the Syrian war, from terrorist attacks to the refugee crisis.
Some analysts believe Turkey has long been serving its own agenda in Syria. For example, by supporting some opposition groups inside Syria who served Ankara's interest in securing its borders and pushing Kurdish forces back. It might be soon to say whether Ankara has changed its strategy in regards with Syria. What is clear for Turkey is that fighting or defeating the Kurdish militants cannot guarantee its security. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Gas bills in Italy will likely double in cost from October the 1st if gas prices continue to rise this way. The recent announcement by power regulator ARERA has gone utterly unnoticed, with the Italian media focusing on the electoral campaign about a month away from the September 25 national elections. A week ago, the outgoing Italian government unveiled a 17 billion euros aid package aimed at protecting families from surging energy costs and rising consumer prices. However, ARERA and some energy experts have warned that very little has been done so far to reduce energy consumption in the country.
Italy's highly critical energy situation has been downplayed by politicians and the media. On one side, there is confidence about the country achieving its target of reaching storage levels of 90%, while on the other side, the risk that Russia could altogether stop the flow of gas to Italy has been underplayed.
Gas is central to Italy's energy systems. The country even produces over 50% of its electricity from natural gas. Rome has cut its reliance on Russian gas imports to 25% from about 40% at the start of the year, a decision that has thrown the energy sector into uncertainty. Some analysts have predicted annual gas bills could reach an average of 1,800 euros next year, almost double the annual average of 950 euros recorded this year. Many Italians are simply bewildered about how they can find themselves in a position of not being able to heat or light their homes.
It's been this way forever. I used to be a unionist. I saw the crisis coming. This is how our country works. We don't have any sovereignty.
Nothing works in this country. We have forever been in the hands of a bunch of swindlers and criminals. Italy has no future.
The outgoing government is planning to offset its dependence on Russian gas by signing new deals with African and Eastern Mediterranean countries and building new regasification plants in a number of Italian sea towns, a move that has met with staunch opposition from local residents. Max Civili, Rome.
Rights groups have accused the Israeli regime of committing war crimes against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip during its three-day onslaught against the territory. On Friday, Israeli forces started launching wanton attacks on Gaza, killing and maiming hundreds of civilians, including women and children. The fighting stopped on Sunday through an Egypt-mediated ceasefire, but Palestinians now have to live with the devastating aftermath of Israeli attacks. According to Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights, the Israeli attacks on Palestinians were systematic and deliberate and fall under Israel's strategy of using disproportionate and excessive force against civilians.
Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights reiterates its strongest condemnation of Israel's gross and systematic violations of international law, particularly in cases of extrajudicial killings and attacks against civilians and civilian objects. Such violations amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity for which those responsible must be held accountable.
Five wars have been unleashed between Israel and Palestinian resistance groups in Gaza since 2008. The regime has been using U.S.-made warplanes and weapons to hit targets in the densely populated area.
The United States and Israel are both responsible for the bloodshed in Gaza. Israel was given the green light from the United States to carry out the brutal attacks on Gaza under the watchful eye of the international community. Israel and the United States are partners in crime against the Palestinian people.
Human rights organizations say, based on the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court, it is more than clear that Israel has been committing war crimes during its attacks on Gaza.
The impunity Israel continues to enjoy and the absence of accountability encourage Israeli officials to continue perpetuating war crimes against Palestinians. As evidenced by its latest aggression on Gaza, Israel does not hesitate to engage in prohibited acts of killing, including direct targeting of civilians. The International Criminal Court must at least investigate these crimes.
For decades now, there has been no pressure on Israel to stop its violence against civilians. Despite repeated and desperate pleas from human rights groups, the international community has stayed silent about the regime's atrocities against Palestinians.
Despite Israel's grave violations of international law, Palestinians continue to suffer due to international apathy. Now, rights groups are demanding that Israeli war criminals be brought to justice. Ashraf Shannon, Gaza.
Tragedy, injustice, and destruction prompted a group of London rights organizations to call an emergency demonstration in support of Palestine and Palestinians. The Israeli bombardment of Gaza was the worst it's been since the May 2021 war that killed 260 Palestinians and destroyed thousands of homes and businesses. This new assault cost the lives of at least 47 Palestinians. A third of the scores killed were children. For those attending the demonstration opposite Downing Street, the official residence of the British Prime Minister, they needed to be present to raise their voice against the injustice.
What we've witnessed over the last few days is very familiar, but no less horrific. Once again, Israel has been bombing the Palestinian people in Gaza, claiming a right to self-defense. There's a reality here that any form of violence that is used to enforce occupation, used to enforce apartheid, used to enforce settler colonialism is by definition illegitimate. It is the Palestinian people who have a right to defence and to protect themselves.
One of the main themes linking the speakers at this event is the fact that the Israeli aggression is only made possible by the tacit support of states like the British, and that Palestinian blood remains on British hands.
The UK has obligations under international humanitarian law and the Geneva Convention to look after the people who are occupied rather than stand with the oppressor, with the world's 21st century apartheid state. They must stop. They must support the Palestinians in real terms, not through words, two-state solution, which means absolutely nothing, but in sanctioning Israel, because that's the next thing that needs to happen.
Your policy on the Palestinians has to change. Justice has to prevail. And the way the hypocrisy, the way they do deal with the Palestinian issue and other issues like the Ukrainian issues, for example, is at least we can say a hypocritical way of dealing with it. So therefore, we are here today to raise our voice and tell them that this is not acceptable.
Though a ceasefire is supposed to be in force, commentators point out that this simply means Israel has moved its campaign of aggression to other parts of occupied Palestine, including Nablus, where there have already been casualties, raising the specter of an escalation resulting in further Palestinian blood being shed. Amina Taylor, London.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The last Israeli regime brutal assault on the Gaza Strip exposed once more the hypocritical and immoral response of the West to the ongoing genocidal policies of the Zionist regime in the occupied territories. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Ilan Papp, author. This article is published under the heading, "When will the West publicly endorse the right of the Palestinians to defend themselves?" Stay tuned for more. The last Israeli regime brutal assault on the Gaza Strip exposed once more the hypocritical and immoral response of the West to the ongoing genocidal policies of the Zionist regime in the occupied territories. The continuation of the callous policies and the Western government's responses, in particular the American and British ones, can naturally lead to desperation and paralysis. However, despair and inaction are a luxury Palestinians under apartheid, siege and occupation cannot afford. Therefore, the solidarity movement as well should do its best not to give in to a sense of helplessness, of hopelessness. It is important to record the continued insecurity of the West as it transpired once more this time, condemn this duplicity and counter it by exposing the fabrications and distortions on which it is based. The American president, the State Department, and the American envoy to the United Nations supported the Zionist regime's rights as they claimed to defend itself in reaction to the Zionist regime's assault, as did the British Foreign Secretary, who will probably be the next prime minister in September. It is quite incredible to hear these statements at a time when every major human and civil rights organization on the globe defined the fake regime of Israel as an apartheid regime. The Western political elites chose to hail its right to self-defense. We should not tire and remind the world that the people who have the right to defend themselves are the Palestinians, and that they possess very limited means to do so, whether by armed struggle or by appealing to international law and institutions. In many cases, they were unable to defend themselves, neither in Gaza this month nor anywhere else in historical Palestine since 1948. When they do succeed in doing so, they are accused of being terrorists. The Western regime seemed to care very little for the Palestinian right to life, dignity, and property. The UN committed to doing so in Resolution 181 of November 29, 1947, and stood by when all these rights were violated during the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Since then, and in particular since 1967, none of the Western regimes ever attempt to protect the Palestinians when the Zionist regime army shot, killed, or wounded them with weapons supplied by the West or developed by its help. It also did nothing when their houses were demolished, their livelihood destroyed, or when they were ethnically cleansed. We can look at July 2022 alone and record some of the Palestinian victims whose rights to self-defense has not been recognized by the President of the USA or the Foreign Minister of Britain. These politicians were silent when during this month Saadia Farangla Matar, a 64-year-old mother of 8 and a grandmother of 28, died in the Damon jail, where she had already spent 6 months detained without trial. No one defended or acknowledged the right of life in this very same month of Amjad Abu Aliyah, a 16-year-old boy who was shot by Israeli regime troops. The list of those murdered just this month is long. It includes Nabil Ghanem, 53 years old, who tried to return home safely from working in the occupied territories and was shot dead by Israeli regime troops last July, and Taher Khalil Muhammad Maslat, a 16-year-old boy, shot on his way to school by Israeli regime snipers who aimed at him from a distance of 100 meters and killed him. Ohed Mohammed Odeh was shot dead in July in Al-Mida, a village near Ramallah, a week that also saw the killing of Ayman Mahmoud Mohsen, aged 29, a father of three and a political prisoner for 3 years, who was killed in the Shia camp near Beitla, and Bilal Awad Khapa, aged 24, killed in Yabad. As the month just started, Muhammad Abdullah Saleh Soleiman, a boy from Silvan, was shot on Route 60, a settler apartheid road, by Israeli regime troops sitting on a watchtower. He was left to bleed for about 2 hours, with Israeli regime troops preventing a Palestinian ambulance to reach him by firing on anyone approaching him. Muhammad died later from his wounds. The Zionist regime watchtowers are also spread near the Gaza Strip fence, but they are not manned. They are loaded with machine guns operated from the distance by young Israeli women troops, who were hailed by Israeli regime radio as heroines defending their homeland when they explained how they use a joystick on their computer to kill anyone approaching the fence. Since January 1, 2022, and until the Israeli regime assassination of Shirin Abu Akleh, the Zionist regime forces killed 61 Palestinians. These killings were part of what local and international human rights organizations described as a shoot-to-kill policy against Palestinians, prodded by Israeli regime Prime Minister at the time, Naftali Bennett, to use lethal force at Palestinians who did not pose an imminent threat. Hundreds were wounded during Ramadan this year, in particular at Haram al-Sharif. As the death toll grew in this last attack, children such as Mumin Salim, aged 5, and Ahmad al-Nayrab, aged 11, in Jabalia were killed, together with another 14 children between the ages of 4 to 16. Palestinian children also died because of the Zionist regime policy of denying medical permits to Gaza's children. Around 840 children have died while awaiting permits between 2008 and 2021. Nobody in the Western media or mainstream politics talked about the rights of the Palestinians who were maimed by Israeli regime shots this month to defend themselves. Nassim Shoman, a student walking on a side road near Ramallah, lost a leg, and his friend Osayed Hamayel was left paralyzed in a wheelchair after they were shot by Israeli regime troops. A similar fate this month awaited Harun Abu Aram from Yatta, who remained paralyzed from head to toes after he tried to prevent the troops of the Israeli regime from stealing his neighbor's generator. Similar silence was heard loud and clear from Western media when the Palestinian community of Ras Al Tin, 18 families, were expelled from their homes last July, and when families in Masafer Yatta became targets for the Israeli regime military training. Nobody in London or Washington last July talked about the right of the Palestinians to defend themselves in the wake of Israeli regime Supreme Court's decision to approve the army's plan to expel about 1,000 Palestinians from the Masafer Yatta region, and nobody in the official West talked about the right of those Palestinians who are tortured by the fake regime of Israel to defend themselves. Last July, we learned from the Public Committee Against Torture in the Occupied Territories that the situation has become so bad that it decided to refer the Israeli regime to International Criminal Court. PCATI concluded that the Israeli regime is not interested and unable to stop the use of torture against Palestinians, a policy that constituted a war crime. It said that after 30 years of fighting torture, it had reached the unfortunate conclusion that the Zionist regime has no wish to end torture, honestly investigate victims' complaints, and prosecute those responsible. Who will defend the Palestinians from the need to choose between two callous options in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip? No one offers a third option. When will the leaders of the West publicly endorse the right of the Palestinians to defend themselves, as they do, for instance, in Ukraine?
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
A shooting attack in occupied outlets. At least 8 Israelis injured, some critically. The shooter turned himself in with his gun described as a lone assailant. The Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid warned that, quote, whoever harms Israeli citizens has nowhere to hide. This is while the Hamas resistance group branded the incident as heroic and said that it was a natural response to the occupation's and Zionist settlers' daily crimes against our people. In this edition of The Spotlight, we will look at the Palestinians' resolve to fight for their land and for their identity and Israeli violations and how it has been weakened when it comes to its security in the face of this attack. First, let's get the latest from a correspondent, Mona Kandil, who joins us from occupied Ramallah. Mona, tell us about where things stand right now in terms of the numbers, in case some may not be aware of the incident that has happened, and how this is going down in, Al-Quds in particular, and of course how Palestinians feel about it.
How the Palestinians feel about it? All the Palestinian powers, the Islamic and national powers, confirmed that this operation comes today in order to insist that the Palestinian people continue in the path of resistance and all the tools of the struggle, as Hamas movement has said, would be available for Palestinians to continue in the path of resisting the Israeli occupation. As you have mentioned, early Sunday, a Palestinian man shot at an Israeli bus. A bus was carrying Israeli settlers, and near the Western Wall, what we know as Palestinian and Muslims say the Ha'at al-Buraq, al-Buraq Wall, near the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Then he opened fire at vehicles at a parking lot. At least 8 or 9 Israelis, because some Israeli media were speaking about 8 Israeli settlers were wounded. Others spoke about 9 Israeli settlers were wounded. Anyhow, following this operation, the man succeeded to escape. And the Israeli soldiers were searching for him. They raided Silwan neighborhood and in Al-Quds. They arrested a number of Palestinians, at least 2 of his relatives and his mother. That's why he turned himself into the Israeli police with his weapon that he used to carry out this operation. Immediately, there was a trial for this Palestinian man because he was a Al-Quds resident and he holds an Israeli ID because he lives in the areas occupied in 1948. Or he's originally from the lands occupied in 1948, living in Al-Quds. The interrogation would continue. They would be keeping him in prison for 8 days for the interrogation to take place. We received from several Israeli media as well that this Palestinian man had spent at least 5 years behind Israeli bars, and he was released recently.
Very well. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Mona Kandil there from Occupied Ramallah.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Let me introduce the guests for this edition of the Spotlight. We have Mota Abu Musaba, a political activist who joins us from Gaza City. Also joining us, Syed Nim, professor of political science, who joins us from Birzeit University, who joins us from occupied Ramallah.
Welcome to you both. I'll start with you, if I may, what Hamas has described as a heroic act, a natural response to the occupations and Zionist settlers' daily crimes against our people, our country, major Muslim and Christian sites, and constant desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. How do you view the incident that happened and the one who committed it? Okay, this question to you, Mota Abu Musaba.
Yes. First of all, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to join you. I think it's a matter of fact that this act actually comes in the context of the normal response against the ongoing and the continuous Israeli crimes committed against the Palestinian people. Today, as you know, that the Palestinian people are paying the price of the international silence from their blood. Yesterday, the whole world has witnessed how the Israeli occupation forces waged the brutal aggression against the Palestinian people in Gaza, leaving more than 45 Palestinians dead. More than 15, out of them, 15 Palestinians were from children. After that, the Israeli occupation turned to the West Bank to commit more brutal crimes and killed Brahim Nablusi. So the Israeli occupation forces insist on committing more and more crimes against the Palestinian people. Amid those crimes, I think it's the legitimate right for the Palestinian people to defend itself and to respond to those crimes. No one can deny the Palestinian people their right of self-defense and resist the Israeli occupation. And I think that if any people worldwide was in the place of the Palestinian people, I think they would retaliate the same way and resist the any kind of aggression or attacks. So it's the normal response for the ongoing and the continuous Israeli crimes committed against the Palestinian people. And the Palestinian people would never accept to be attacked and to be slaughtered in front of the whole world without having any response towards those crimes.
Well, you have the Israeli Prime Minister. I need to make his stance clear here as to what he has said. He said, all those who wish us evil know that they will pay a price for any harming of civilians, in a statement that he made. Now, what would you say to him or an Israeli of any background who says, well, what happened today is not the way to go? This act is not something that they think is the right way to proceed. What response would you give them?
Yes, in fact, the Palestinian people are on the resistance side. The Palestinian people are on the reaction side, and the Palestinian people actually defend themselves against the Israeli occupation forces. And actually, no one of the Israeli settlers could be considered as a civilian. Those who came from all over the world to occupy the Palestinian land, and they know clearly that these lands belong mainly to the Palestinian people, and here is a Palestinian people who is living here and who has been living here since hundreds of decades. So we cannot accept that those settlers who came to occupy the Palestinian land to be considered as civilians. Anyone come to this land knowing that the Palestinian people are the original owners of this land, I think they are nothing more than occupiers, and they are settlers. So they should expect from the Palestinian people to resist that kind of occupation.
Sure. Let me bring in Saad Nem, who is with us now. Saad Nem, welcome. Looking at what has happened today, we've had Hamas make some statements on this. One I mentioned, another, Hamas said, our nation knows very well that resistance is the only way to safeguard the Palestinian land, to safeguard the holy places, and can inflict enormous cost on the invaders and thwart their plots. First of all, when Hamas makes a statement like that, you know, we are dealing with a world where many are not aware of what is actually happening on the ground. Although you would think at this point everyone should be aware of what's happening to the Palestinians and the violations that the Israeli regime incurs on them. So when Hamas makes a statement like that and talks about resistance, do you think that people understand what Hamas is saying? Because what happened today is one of the consequences of the occupation.
Yes, that's right. It's indeed, when we are talking about the Palestinian resistance and Palestinian, even you know, in this last incident, I think that it came a little bit even late. After what happened in Gaza and the assassination and the mini war that they waged against Gaza, and then the incursion on the Al-Aqsa Mosque with thousands and trying, you know, to raise the Israeli flag and chanting on Friday, and the killing of Nablusi in Nablus, the assassination of Nablusi also with his colleagues as well. All that definitely will be, there will be a kind of a reaction. Now, coming back to your question, why would Hamas would say, yes, we support this kind of resistance to the Palestinian people against the Israeli aggression, but the question is, why the people outside would see the statement of Hamas and they didn't see the actions of Israel in the last few days? And that's the issue. Now they are talking about the response of Hamas to an incident, but they didn't see the war on Gaza, they didn't see the incursions on the Aqsa Mosque, they didn't see also the killing in Nablus. So all that combined, it showed clearly how hypocrisy the world and we media in general, and also the international community, or what's so-called international community, which is quite obvious that they are having a double standard in dealing with issues such as the issues with Russia and Ukraine, or the issues with Iran, or issues with North, even Korea. It's totally different when it comes to what Israel is doing. They sure don't want to see, and I don't think that we do care anymore about it. They want to call us terrorists, call us terrorists. But we need to defend our people, and we need to make a statement here that our resistance is not only our right, but it's also our duty as Palestinians to resist this occupation. It's not normal, not natural, any people under occupation and not to resist this occupation. And this country is a colonial country, it's an apartheid country, it's a kind of a racist, and it's based on racism and based on hatred. So definitely there will be a reaction by the Palestinian, and whether the world would like to accept that or not, well, it's their problem, because by the end of the day, we need to resist this occupation. We need the world to stand with us, but they should look with both eyes, not only with one eye.
Well, we're trying to make the world understand, and you know, there's certain media outlets that do that, and they do highlight the plight of Palestinians. And Moti Abu Musaba, I mean, I'm going to refer to a particular site which I refer to on an almost daily basis, and that's called Palestinian Center, or the Palestine Center for Human Rights. And here's what's interesting. This is a site that cites all the different violations that Israel commits on a daily basis on the occupied lands. I picked a couple to show the depth of the severity of the violations that are taking place. Sunday, August 7th, at approximately 1900 time, an Israeli warplane fired a missile at a horse cart near Al-Samer intersection in central Gaza City, immediately killing two Palestinians that were sitting on a cart. Now, we don't hear about this, do we? Or the world doesn't hear about that. That's just one incident. violation of right to life and bodily integrity, 2 Palestinians killed, 16 others, including 3 children, a person with disability, and a journalist were injured. I could keep going. This is a long list, daily, of violations that take place, killings that take place, etc. Why does this not reach out to the world for there to be a reaction? Because if they were aware of that this is happening, I would think that there should be one.
Yes, I think that the Israeli crimes are flagrant enough to be seen by the whole world. And no one can deny or turn a blind eye towards those flagrant and blatant crimes committed against the Palestinian people. The scenes of the Palestinian children trapped under the rubble of their houses, their residential houses, were seen by the whole world. But unfortunately, the whole world stands silent towards those crimes. And I think this reveals how hypocrite the world is when it turns a blind eye towards those crimes. On contrary, they are blaming the Palestinian people for practicing their legitimate right of self-defense and of resisting the occupation. While on the other hand, they give the Ukrainian people the legitimate right and the utter right to defend itself against the Russian invasion, and they are encouraging on a daily basis the Ukrainian people to defend itself against the Russian incursions. So we are in front of an abhorrent kind of hypocrisy practiced by the international community. And I think this reveals how fragile the system of human values and the system of human rights organizations and bodies that claim defending human rights and defending the human values. I think if they are serious with this regard, they should give the Palestinian people the needed protection and to protect the Palestinian children who are being slaughtered under the incursions and the airstrikes of the Israeli F-16 missiles.
Sure. Well, you make a very good point, Saad Nimra. This is something that has been mentioned before, and that is the fact that you have the world, particularly the U.S., leading the pack, and then the European NATO member countries that are encouraging Ukrainians to stand up, to resist, to arm, to fight against Russia. Why that approach is not taking towards Palestinians, especially when it comes to the issue of arms. I mean, for example, why shouldn't the Gaza Strip be equipped with an Iron Dome system? They're the ones that are getting bombed by Israel. Why shouldn't they have an Iron Dome system? But you see where I'm going with this.
Yes, thank you for this question. Yes, you made me, you know, really laugh. It's true what you are saying. If we are going to talk about that the world should take their stand, a real stand, then definitely they should do. If they were standing of the same distance of all things happening around them, around the world. But in reality, they are not. Because here we are talking about Israel. Israel is protected by the Americans, and the interest of Israel, the interest of America, is above everything. It has been said many times, even by the Europeans. The Europeans, they do realize that Israel is a menace country. Israel is an aggression that they are violating all kind of laws, including human laws, international laws, and whatever you think of laws, and they do not do anything about that. To the contrary, they are, you know, supporting Ukraine because the Americans want that. And what the European would say, that our interest with America is more important than the human rights and than the standard that we are standing by, or by the Palestinian rights or anybody else's right, as far as our interests are, you know, safe with the Americans. So they can't or they don't want to get the Americans angry with them if they criticize Israel or if they take any measures against Israel. And now the issue is not about, you know, whether they are issuing a statement here and there to condemn the Israeli atrocities, but rather to take an action, to do something. Now, my hope, and I think that we believe that we are doing much better in regarding the social media, and people, more and more people around the world are more convinced of what's going on and knowing what's going on, more than the governments, more than the parliaments, but I'm talking about the grassroots organizations and people around the world. They do know the right thing because of the social media and the effect of the social media, especially in the last 10 years. So we believe and we hope that this kind of grassroots movement start pressurizing the governments and start making effect on the governments. Maybe one day things will start to change. But meanwhile, we have to maintain our struggle, we have to maintain our resistance, and we have to maintain our stand fasting. At the same time, Israel is maintaining in giving us every day new evidence of their violation and giving the world new evidence that they are violating the human rights and the international law.
Sure. Well, we are looking, last question here, Moti Abu Mousabi, at the fact that Palestinians, some, had at least one area that they were pinning their hopes on, even though it was getting dimmer and dimmer. And was getting less in weight by the day, and that was in their politicians, their Arab leaders. But we have seen that the U.S. strategy through the former U.S. presidents was to kill that hope with the so-called normalization that took place. Even though we're seeing cracks in that normalization, one of the headlines reading the UAE and Israel's, well, this one calls it a whirlwind honeymoon, is almost over. Are we looking at any hopes for Palestinians, aside from the leaders, to unite or for there to be more occurrences? We're not promoting violence here. To stand up like this particular person who, that carried what it did and Hamas praised his act, are we going to see more Palestinians commit these types of acts, given the fact that they're being squeezed from all sides? In less than 30 seconds.
Yes, I think there is no need to state the obvious, that normalization that took place between the Arab regimes and the Israeli occupation is a stab in the back of the Palestinian people. And I think it's the main obstacle that stands between the Palestinian people and retrieving their rights. And I think we are clearly here in front of two camps, the camp of the resistance that still insists on resisting the Israeli occupation and the U.S. interest in the region.
Thank you.
And the camp of the peace.
Thank you for that.
Yes,
I'm sorry, we're fresh out of time. I do apologize, Moti Abu Mousabi. Thank you. Unfortunately,
strategy.
We're fresh out of time. I do apologize, Moti Abu Mousabi, political activist. Thank you, Saad Nirm, professor of political science at Brzezinski University.